The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Johnny Hill joins us live with his son Angel for a little bit of devotional review. Also, how can God allow the yuck that we see in our lives from time to time? And finally, when politics and politicians cross the Bible line.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics. Yeah, I'm going to cover a little bit of that. Entertainment and current events, personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey. So much more. We're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Any topic is open for conversation, primarily because it's not professional radio, it's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. First, let me say hello to Johnny Hill. Hi, Johnny.
Hey, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Let me say hello to Angel. How you doing, Angel? This is Johnny's son, Angel. Hi, Angel.
I'm good.
How are you doing? Good? All right. Let me say hello to Tiara. Hi, Tiara.
Hello, hello.
It's like a full house.
Okay, amen,
right? We've got everybody kind of hanging out together. Before we get into any of our teachings, reviews, or anything else, we need to make sure that we talk about a couple of things. For those that do not know, this day is an actually very famous holiday. Let me ask you, if anybody on the planet knows what holiday this is. Does anybody know? Going once? Going twice? Okay. It's National Fruitcake Day. So all those fruitcakes that people got, see, there's a theory. There's only one actual fruitcake, and it has just been passed on from family to family to family to family, gift to gift to gift. It's a theory. I didn't say it was true. Also, today is Make Cut Out Snowflakes Day. Now, this is actually the paper snowflake that people are talking about, not the snowflakes that are in the political realm or in the media realm. This is paper snowflakes. You're supposed to be making those. Remember those? We used to make those in school?
We remember those.
We made those in school. Back then, they actually had scissors. It's true. Did you ever make a snowflake, Tiara?
I did, even though we don't have the weather for snowflakes.
Well, we don't. In fact, this is pretty warm for Texas, pretty warm Christmas, isn't it? It's like kind of up there, I think.
It's Texas. What do you expect?
Yeah. Somebody told me that the weather in Texas was bipolar.
That sounds about
very
right.
True.
All right. Just making sure I get this. A couple of things that did take place on this day. Two of them are significant. Two of them are not. One of them in 1844, first dental use of nitrous oxide. For those that don't know what nitrous oxide is, it's called laughing gas, right? You listen to this show and you get depressed, you probably want some nitrous oxide. 1904, Peter Pan, the play premiered in London. That's okay. I remember the peanut butter, but I don't remember that. Radio City Music Hall opened for the first time on this day in 1932. But here's the big one. We always wait. There's always one great, great thing that happened. Here it is, folks. 1947, on this day, 1947, Howdy Doody, a children's television program, made its debut.
Yay.
On this day. See?
I watched that show.
It's Howdy Doody time. It's Howdy Doody. Come on. It's legendary stuff. All right. In a minute, we're going to give a shout out to Stephanie from New York Life Insurance Company, but I haven't done that yet. Before we do that, I do want you to be aware I'm going to share a little bit on a couple of different levels. But I want to just check in with Johnny. How was your Christmas overall? Pretty good?
It was awesome, brother. Fantastic.
Okay. If you hit your hand, you won't have to glue it. did anything special? Anything special happen? Anything
Absolutely.
Unique?
Yes.
In the Lord or in family? Or what?
Both. Just spend time with family. Just quiet time with family, good food, in the Lord. Couldn't ask for anything better.
You know, I found that most people this year, it was much more of a chilled out Christmas for a majority of people. And I you get the sense that everybody's just like, okay, we've all had enough. Everybody take a deep breath. Everybody relax. We know what's going on in all the other realms of life. How about we just, you know, take it easy, recognize that, of course, Christmas, and then today later on after the show are the only days where calories don't actually add up. Okay. Well, maybe not, but that's how I'm playing it today. And just enjoy it, because you know what's cool about all of this stuff? Jesus loves us so much. Watch this. He became one of us. That, for him, was a big step down, but a big step up in saying how much he loves us.
Amen.
There
brother.
You go. Just think of it that way. Big shout out to Stephanie. This is her second shout out. She's getting in 2 minutes. From New York Life Insurance Company. We're going to be hopefully meeting next week. Hopefully she'll get a chance to hear this, and maybe it'll be a blessing for her. If you hear it, you can text me. It won't matter. My ringer is off, Stephanie, just to let you know. But we met her accidentally, or was it a divine appointment?
Amen.
And we're hoping that she becomes a part connected to the show. So that would be kind of cool. We're going to go right into a devotional teaching that has to do with Acts chapter 3, because there's something I want to get to. There's a lot of stuff I want to get to. And then we're going to do a trivia question in the next segment, as long as Tiara feels comfortable, because she is running the whole show. She's in charge of everything radio. Everything 770 AM, everything. Everything from KAAM is Tiara. She's in charge. Just remember that.
Well, I must say this, brother. I'm confident.
Yeah, me too. She does a great job, so there's never any worries. And she has fun. And she can play any sound she wants except for a buzzer if I tell a joke. All right, so here we go. This is out of Acts chapter 3, verses 9 through probably go to about 13, 14, 15. It says, as all the people saw him walking and heard him praising God, when they realized he was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the beautiful gate, they were absolutely astounded. And they all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. Peter saw this opportunity and addressed the crowds. People of Israel, he said, why is this so surprising? Or what is so surprising about this? And why stare at us as though we had made this man walk, or by our own power or godliness? I'll read it again in a second. For it is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our ancestors, who has brought glory to his servant Jesus by doing this. Now, I want you to stop and just listen for a second. Peter and John are going up to pray. They're going up to the temple to pray. This guy looks at him, and he's looking at him, and he's waiting for dough. A lot of people are waiting for dough. We're all looking for dough. People are waiting for dough. So Peter lays it on the line. Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise and walk. What's cool about this is Peter had nothing to give but the kingdom of God. And that giving would change this man's life. When it says that he was tightly holding on to Peter and John, it wasn't because he needed help walking. He was so ecstatic that he was healed. He was gripping them. He was just so happy to be delivered and to be free from what was oppressing him. And Peter, when he saw the opportunity to address the crowd, said this, and I find this first statement the one that I want to key in. What is so surprising about this? And why stare at us as though we had made this man walk by our own power or godliness? For it is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob who has brought glory to his servant Jesus. Now, a couple things to tell you right now. God, who is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is not a different God in the New Testament. Okay? For all those people that think that, wrong. Okay? And number two, he asks something that is a challenge for me and for you and everybody. He said, why are you so surprised about this? the God who created life from dirt, the God who separated the waters to such a degree that people walked on it on dry land. It wasn't muddy. It says it was dry land. They walked under, a whole nation walks through on dry land. This is the same God who, and you go through the Old Testament, stopped the sun and the moon and the rotation of the universe to absorb the concept of time for a day. Why are we so surprised that God does powerful things? That's the question. What do you think, Johnny?
We often go through life not living in that power.
Not even believing that power exists or remembering anyway, right?
Oblivious.
Oblivious. Good
oblivious
word.
Oblivious to it.
Good word.
I'm guilty of that myself.
Are you like me where a God does something really, really cool and then 24 hours later or 48 hours later, it's like, yeah, but what have you done for me lately?
Especially if something bad happens. That good thing, that amazing miracle is forgotten.
Great point. It's I don't want to say it's in our nature, but I guess it is. It's in the sinful nature for sure.
We're fickle.
Oh, good. That's a great way to say that. Because we love it when God does something totally awesome the way we think it's cool and the way they think it's, oh, that's fantastic and that's cool. But as soon as it doesn't look the way we want it to look, feel the way we want it to feel, or sound the way we want it to sound, boy, that's when we give them our list, you know, right? That's when we start getting, even though he already knows what he's doing, we just forget.
I want to mention this. This is, we talked about several shows ago about unbelief. This is where the unbelief creeps in. We pray over someone, they get healed, and maybe a couple weeks later, something happens, we lose our job. And all of a sudden, we start to question who Jesus is. We start to question our own faith in God. We question the very core of our faith. That's where the unbelief seeps in, just a little bit. We come back around, but a little bit of unbelief seeps in. And this is what we need to avoid.
Yeah, that's a great way to say that, too. You have that little bit of faith. But then you let that little bit of unbelief come in. The little bit of unbelief comes in and eliminates the little bit of faith, and then you got nothing.
And it lingers.
Yeah.
It lingers. It needs to be addressed.
Yeah. Great. Great. Well stated. Okay. We're going to take our first break. Yes, we have fun here. That's what we do. We're going to take our first break because Jared says it's time to take a break. So we're taking a break. And then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about something that is very deep, why God allows yuck to happen. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. For you
have made. Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water,
what is the David Spoon Experience?
Now, he's crying. Now, I was still of the mindset that men don't cry, okay, just so you can know. And I'm getting mad because it's my story and he's crying. And I'm thinking, it's my story. Why are you crying? That's what I'm thinking in my mind. And he's crying. He's apparently a good crier. I don't know what a good crier is. I learned after my dad died, but I mean, somewhat. But this is real. You know, he's sobbing. And I'm like, and he looks up at me after he's cried for about a minute and a half. And his eyes are red. And he looks at me and he says, "This is how the Lord hurts for you." And that was it. Bam. It was like somebody just took a hammer and broke my hard heart and my, you know, my pride attitude and my over arrogance and my everything. Looking at that guy, showing me crying and tears, and all I could think of was Jesus wept.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him, and here's what I know. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He has 3 children and almost 5 grandchildren. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations, and a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theology studies. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot.
It's not a dissolver that will take stuff off. It's spot on, not spot off.
If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people were going to have to listen to find out. The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We do want to let you know, email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. And then also our website, davidspoonmedia.com. And that's pretty simple. David Spoon Media. So I have on there these 4 segments on this one teaching that I did called Relentless Faith. They're only about 8 minutes long, each one, but they're pretty cool. I think they're pretty good. I encourage you to listen if you need to be encouraged in your faith and just kind of uplifted. That's the direction we're going to go actually in this segment. Don't forget Facebook, David Spoon Media, YouTube, David Spoon Media. I don't care if you do anything with those. That doesn't mean anything to me. But that's just a point of fact. We do have a trivia question for those that are feeling brave. I know it's Friday after Christmas. What? We're going to do a trivia question? Yeah, why not? Okay, ready? You ready for this trivia question?
Ready, brother.
All right, you feel good that this is something the audience can get? All right.
Yes.
Which is not a book in the Old Testament? Which is not a book in the Old Testament? Joshua, David, Isaiah, or Zephaniah? Joshua, David, Isaiah, or Zephaniah? Which is not a book in the Old Testament? There you go. 972-445-0770. Somebody's feeling pretty good. You're welcome to answer that question. I didn't even get the paper down, and somebody's already called in. I didn't even get the paper down. All right, people. All right. So we got somebody, and they're feeling pretty confident they know this. So it's either Joshua, David, Isaiah, or Zephaniah. That is the simple question. Oh, they hung up. Okay, so did they? Okay, they're going to call back. All right, let's get into our next little teaching. So I do want to give you an update on Easton Scott. I can tell that my daughter is having a harder time. And so I definitely want you guys to be praying for her, because I think it's superbly important to sustain people in prayer. And there's this portion in there where Jesus talks about Peter and saying, I've prayed that your faith would not fail you. And that, as a dad, I'm just my not my concern, but my daddy part of me is like, I'm praying for my daughter and her faith to stand firm. When we come back after this call, I'm going to tell you what it's all about. But hang on one sec. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Bobby out here in Climax.
Hi, Bobby. How are you?
Doing good, doing good. Had a great Christmas. Hope you did.
Yes, sir, I did. I did. And thank you for asking. I appreciate that. All right, so you're feeling pretty good about the trivia, right? Because I feel like you know this in my heart. I got it going on. Here we go. Which is not an Old Testament book? Joshua, David, Isaiah, or Zephaniah?
It would have to be David.
That is correct.
About the Chronicles and also in the Kings.
That is correct, sir. Excellent job. Excellent job. And I think I had mentioned this before on the air, but back in the day when I was teaching, when I had a church in Flagstaff, Arizona, I would say to people, and I did it a few times, and actually I did a guest speaking once just because it's irritating. I got up in the pulpit and I said, everybody turn to the book of Hezekiah. And you should have people flipping through their Bibles trying to find Hezekiah, the king in Israel. But it's such a good one.
That was good.
Yeah, that's a good one right there. So thank you, brother, for calling in and answering the question. Excellent job on that.
Thank you, brother. God bless you.
You have a happy new year.
Thank you. You too as well.
God bless.
You too. Bye-bye. Great job. All right. Excellent, excellent, excellent. Great way to start. See, our audience knows. I wasn't going to get that past them. Nah, I knew that was coming. All right, so I want to talk about this. So as a dad, you know, my daughter's going through a hard time. It's not that she's lost faith or anything, but look, if you've been in the hospital for 45 days with your baby, that tends to weigh on you. And I was mentioning to Johnny that I'd sent her a text wanting to make sure she didn't get caught up in the hospital minutia, because that whole thing, you can just get stuck, and then they're just living moment by moment for everything a doctor says. And it's like the question that comes into play is, well, Dave, could you possibly justify or biblically justify why God would allow anything like that to happen? That's a question that I get a lot in life, just in my general engagement with people. I want to point out a couple of things real quickly. The first thing is that if God did not allow the planet to continue, you wouldn't have any problems at all. So that would be a kind of a quick solver. But the reality check is that man rebelled against God, introduced sin into the world. Sin, by being introduced to the world by man's rebellion, made a connection with Satan, and then the world kind of got all twisted and weird and bizarre, and sickness and disease and death entered. Jesus Christ came to redeem us, but the fullness of the redemption will be called when he returns the second time. So it's not all been fully redeemed. And you think, well, how can you say that? And the answer is very simple, because God still allows the penalty of death to prevail over man, so he hasn't pulled the fullness of the trigger back. But when we talk about God allowing, most of the things that happen to us are put into motion because of the general rebellion of mankind. But I want to say something that has two very big points. I'm going to let Johnny kind of jump in at the last couple minutes on this. First and foremost, in God's economy, your faith is more important than your feelings. How you feel about a situation is real, but it's not more important than your faith in a situation. In Peter, in the book of Peter, it says this. It says, in all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. It's more important in God's economy that your faith be purified and real and genuine and like gold than you feel good about it. And that, if you just answer that to every single one of those questions we would all ask, you'd be like, okay. Because that kind of solves it. The next part comes in with James chapter 1, where it says, consider it pure joy. Now, this is the challenge. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Again, you could apply that to any situation where you don't understand what's going on. Your feelings are all twisted about it. You don't think it should be that way. God really appreciates that you have that perspective, but doesn't care. In the sense that your job is to have faith more than for your feelings to be all like snuggly. Okay, it's not about all your snuggly feelings. And so why I bring that up is simply because of this. In a passage like Ephesians chapter 1:11, it says, in him we were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. There's this plan that God had. People keep forgetting that in the beginning of all this, before the foundation of the earth, God had a plan. And finally, you bring in the scripture, though its primary context is salvation, it still has application. We know that in all things work together for good to those that love God, to them that are called according to his plan. Now, a lot of people say, well, that just has to do with salvation. Well, then they shouldn't have put the word all in there. But okay, I get it. I mean, I get what you're saying. But the point is, God allows, because it refines faith, and he's got a purpose and a plan that you and I don't always see. Hint, hint, Job. Does that make sense when I say it like that, Johnny? Is that, you getting that?
It does. It makes a lot of sense.
What do you think?
I look at it like this. We're not foolish. We understand that we do live in an imperfect world. And so one of the benefits of going through trials and tribulations is to prepare us for the things that are going to happen. Because it's an imperfect world.
Exactly.
So when we go through these processes, the benefit of it is that there's some growth that happens. Some necessary growth as Christians. What does that do for us? It helps us. What does it do for my son? It helps him because I become a better father. What does it do for my wife? It helps my relationship because I become a better husband. So there's an amazing benefit.
Excellent point.
In going through
just
these trials.
Excellent point. And that reflection, the going through those trials, that reflection of Jesus Christ, which increases in our lives, often leads to greater praise and glory to God. And it's like, now we're getting close. Mm. Now I'm going to read this passage. I told John I was going to read this passage. I don't think he knows this one up to – a lot of people don't know this one. I'm going to show you something that a lot of people don't have maybe the courage to talk about. Isaiah 57:1 says this. Good people pass away. The godly often die before their time. But no one seems to care or wonder why. No one seems to understand that God is protecting them from evil to come. People don't even realize that God will allow something to happen in order to protect somebody at a level they can't even possibly understand. And you think, wait a minute. No, wait a minute. That's been in the book for 3,000 years. And he's like, well, that guy, he went before he was supposed to go. That's probably mercy. That's probably what that is. You think, well, how could that be? Well, I don't know, because this is the one thing I know. If a guy – I'm just going to use this example, and I'll reverse it so as not to be sexist about it. I'll try and do it really, really earnestly. If a woman is married to a man for 50 years and she loves and adores him and thinks he's the greatest thing ever, and then passes away and goes to be with the Lord, but had she been alive 2 years later, would have found out that he was unfaithful for 48 or 50 years, better for her to pass and to go into the Lord than to go through the pain that she was about to encounter. You think that's ridiculous? That's a real life situation. And God having mercy goes, no, we're gonna spare her that. And it's like, only God would know that. You see what I'm saying? That's like, oh, that's cool. Like, yeah, but that comes down to our trust in God. Do you believe he has your best interests in mind? Or are you just playing? That's just answer that question. Okay. Are you going to take a break and then come back? Good to great. Okay. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere. Can't
stand the skill. The David Spoon Experience.
There was a pastor, now I use that word with some reservation, having been involved in ministry and having the privilege of planting seven churches throughout the United States and having three separate ordinations, I have a tremendous amount of respect for people who commit their lives into ministry. But whenever there's somebody on television or anywhere else that is a nut job, then I just call it like I see it. Okay, that's what I call it. Call it like I see it. On the Sean Hannity show, roughly about 2 weeks ago, a reverend, so-called Reverend Oliver White was on the show, and Reverend Wright said this, and I'm going to repeat it because some of these things are just unbelievable. He said that Jesus was wrong about marriage. At least he didn't have the audacity to say he never said anything about marriage. He said Jesus was wrong about marriage and that marriage should be more than between a man and a woman. And then he proceeded to say this statement, ladies and gentlemen. He said this. Now, this isn't even the thing that's irritating. Then he proceeded to say this. If Jesus were alive today, he said, he would say, I didn't know it all. This is a man who's supposed to be representing Jesus Christ as a minister. This guy's no minister. And if you want to say, well, that's judging, I'll take that judgment all day long. All day long, I'll take that judgment, no matter what anybody says. Here's a guy that says two things. One, Jesus was wrong about marriage. Two, if Jesus were alive today, any person who proclaims or professes to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ and questions whether Jesus Christ is alive today or not is not a minister, but a false teacher. I don't care. I don't care if you like it. I don't care if you think that's mean. That's irrelevant. Facts are facts. And here's the thing that just overwhelms me. This overwhelms me, ladies and gentlemen. Any person who is in public office, now this goes with this, all three of these things go together. Any person who is in public office who changes their convictions about same-sex marriage because another family member has made a decision to go into the lifestyle of being gay or lesbian, any person who changes their convictions, their biblical Christian convictions, based on another family member changing their status into a gay or lesbian lifestyle, and then that person then changes their Bible convictions to accommodate their family member, is not fit to be a Christian.
That's right. I said it.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station. Don't forget, you can always go to davidspoonmedia.com to get more information about the show. If there's a problem with Google, we've tried to work this out with Google. Google really likes me. About 12, 13, 14 years ago, they did something, and I wrote them and told them what I thought before they were as big as they were big, and they banned me for life. So somehow I got back on, and but every once in a while on our website, they throw something my direction. It's one of those weird things. So if you have a problem getting there, you can always get there by davidspoon.com, just so you can know. We have a couple workarounds. We're not entirely lame, just partially. Keep in mind, we've got a special show coming up on Monday. Next week, we've got some really cool stuff taking place. I am doing a replay on my testimony on Wednesday, which I think is the first. Is that right? The first, right? Okay. I'm going to do something that I've done very little of. You may get mad at me. Keep in mind, I love you. And if you don't love me, you have to work that out with the Lord, because you're supposed to love yourself, your neighbors, and your enemies. So I probably fit in there somewhere. So just figure out how that's going to work for you. But over the last week, there were two things that took place in the media, in politics, and I just had to respond. So I told Johnny, I warned Johnny. Didn't I warn you? Didn't I? I told
yes, you.
Okay,
you warned
forewarned
me.
You. I told Angel too. So said, you don't know what's coming here. So there's two things I want to talk about. We're not going to spend a lot of time on it, but there was an article on The Hill. The Hill is an online magazine, very ultra left. You know, blah, 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 blah. I don't really care about that. But they said something in the article that just drove me to the wall. And the person was Alan Hugh Cole. That was the author. And the title was said, God did not elect Donald Trump. The people did. And the article went on to say that the full election had to do with only what people decided. And then he went on to say to make sure that people understood that anybody who does not support a minimum wage change is basically being disobedient to Proverbs 14:31, which says those who oppress the poor insult their maker. And so he was trying to utilize that to say we should all pay everybody more money. Now, Alan Cole Jr., just Hugh Cole Jr., is a professional, a senior associate, and a dean of academic affairs at Steve Hicks School of Social Work at the University of Texas. He holds degrees from Princeton Theological Seminary and Columbia University. And I have this piece of advice. Get a refund. Okay? That's my first comment to Mr. Cole. Why? Well, here's why. Okay. First and foremost, I'm going to do the poor thing, and then I'm going to really get into what irritates me. The poor thing's not as big, but it is big enough. Let's review how the overall poor are in America that they're talking about. They only have one car, two cell phones, one big screen, one laptop or iPad, and access to a laptop or an iPad in a public library. Telling people that they only make $8 to $10 an hour makes them the poor oppressed that Jesus referenced is the most absurd thing there is, because it's not even in the same ballpark. Just so you can understand, it's, and by the way, comparison to the poor in the world, that's just dishonest. It's just a dishonest statement. The late Reverend Billy Graham, with more wisdom in his pinky than that author could attain in five lifetimes, said, if you live in America, you are the rich man. I'm like, there you go. Because in our country, there's all kinds of stuff that people get all the time. Now, that doesn't mean everybody's taken care of, and I agree that everybody should be taken care of, but let's not go crazy and say, you know, every minimum wage should be $90 kind of. It's like a weird thing that people do, and I don't like it because I feel it's dishonest, but that's not the thing that irritated me. Can you tell where I'm going with this? It's that this guy who got a degree from Princeton Theological Seminary, and I'm telling you, if that didn't come out of a Cracker Jack box, I can't believe it. He said, the people chose that. The people chose that. Well, Daniel chapter 4 teaches, seven times will pass until you acknowledge the Most High is sovereign over all the kingdoms of the earth, and he gives them to anyone he wishes. Now, I don't have to be a genius, but I can read Dick and Jane. See Dick run. See Jane run. See Dick and Jane run. I can do that. And I can also read that the scriptures in Daniel 4 says that God gives the kingdoms of the earth to anybody he wants. Acts 17, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in holy temples built by hand. He is not served by human hands as if he needed something. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man, he made all the nations that should inhabit the whole earth. He marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries in their lands. For anybody who's a Bible-believing Christian to not understand that God is sovereign in the affairs of man pretty much tells you there's something that's not working together. Here's what it really comes down to. And there's some Republicans are going to be really mad at me at this because I'm blasting both sides here. Okay. If you're a person who believes in God, I'm just assuming you believe that he can also write a book. Okay. Don't get mad. Hey, he created the universe, but the dude can't write a book. Okay. So if you can get past that idiocy for just a little bit, you should not be surprised that whether it's Obama or Trump, that God participates in the election of the most powerful people in the world. Or do you think that God was surfing somewhere and just decided every 4 years I go surfing? I don't want to have to do anything. I'm just kind of chilling. It's like, really? Really? In fact, I'm not even going to do the other article because I'll just get twice as mad and it's not worth it. And so I'm bringing this to Johnny because what gets me mad is they're like, God is not involved. Like, he's not? Okay, so the deist faith believes that God created and then left and went on a 60 trillion year trip and is not coming back for another 60 trillion years and so on and so forth. And they say George Washington believed that. That's not true, by the way. George Washington didn't believe that. He believed in the Bible, he believed in the church. None of that stuff's true. But what do you think about people who are claiming to be Christians? Like, yeah, but God has nothing to do with anything that has to do with what we decide. What do you think about that?
Well, that's pretty simple, David. People push their own agenda.
It is right there.
And they simply just are under the guise that folks are not reading the Word of God, so they're not going to know any better. Just that simple. The other option would be sheer stupidity.
I didn't say that, but that's a good line. I need to steal that line.
And I mean that you can't take the Word of God if you're knowingly changing what God's Word says, then that's stupidity. It means you're questioning the King of Kings, the creator of all things, and there's no other way to explain that.
Yeah, I find I find it amazing that, and I had this conversation with some Christians. In case you're wondering, yeah, I get beat up from both sides on stuff like this. I had somebody say to me when Barack Obama was elected, it was like they actually said this. Man, I'm going to tell you what I said. Don't get mad. But they said, well, he's like the Antichrist. I said, well, if he is, he's the worst one ever. I said, because he can't even unify people together. And the Antichrist does a great job of unifying people. So I'm not real sure where you're coming with that. And the idea that these people that get into office that have this kind of power and this kind of pull have no – there's nothing that God is doing. God's just sitting there doing needlepoint. Like if God counts the hairs on our head, which for me is subtraction, but for other people, and that's important to him, how is it not the direction, the place, and the functionality of a nation like America? He cares about the hair on our head but doesn't care about the nation impacting the world? Am I crazy? Is that nuts? What do you think? I mean, it's sheer stupidity. Can I use that?
I mean, there's really no other way to look at it other than there being an agenda and just hoping that people aren't reading the Bible and they don't know better. But I think it's maybe a combination, brother.
Well, so that would really encourage people then to at least read the book.
Absolutely.
I mean, we have a saying right here about the BFN. Do you know what I haven't told you the BFN yet. I probably
I
should be careful.
Have.
Okay. BFN has to do with your big fat nose. it's like, get it in the book. Read right, the book. Right. And don't tell me, oh, well, there's so many different translations. And it's like, wait, let me get this straight. God can speak into existence matter where there was no matter before, but he can't make sure that his message gets through in a book.
That is really lame. I mean, that's like, come on.
I mean, you know, it's like a car salesman. You really believe that? That's that kind of mindset. God can do anything. God can create a book that preserves. Oh, but humanity wrote that. Humanity was a part of bringing Jesus Christ into the world as God used the genealogy, and he did no problem with that over thousands of years. Why would it be that hard for him to write a book? That's the thing, right?
This would be better a better statement if it was given by someone who was a non-believer.
Wow. What a line that is. Wow. Did you just come up with that?
Brother, I mean,
it's... Wow. That was a great line. Because it is. It really comes off like somebody who doesn't believe the Bible, doesn't believe
in
God.
Right, right.
When
you think about it, when you just really think about it,
wow.
and you start to beat yourself up and you think, man, why would someone say this who's been to divinity school? Why would someone say this who's been trained by the best and who has a knowledge of the Word of God? What's their motivation? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Now, I won't do a ton of political things, but when this, come on. I mean, when Nebuchadnezzar was turned into a cow, I have a feeling he would get up and go moo, which was like, this is not the right answer. So good, great statements.
Yeah, like I was personally taught this in elementary school, so was my little brother, but I find it odd that a theologian who has so many degrees from Ivy Leagues wouldn't be able to understand or like recall the Word of God in order to put it in his writing.
Wow. These guys are on fire. That's a good statement right there. Angel finally peep it up and at the right time with the right statement. Exactly correct. All right, we're going to take a break because Tierra's going, Dave, take a break. You're talking too long. I'm not talking. They were talking. Anyhow, you're listening to – good job, Angel. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
All the mankind destroying everyone and everything we find.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Do you know how you keep going? Do you know how you keep putting one foot in front of the other? Do you know how you don't give up? Do you know how you don't quit even though you want to quit? You fix your eyes on Jesus. You see with God. When Peter went out of that boat and stepped on that water, there is no natural principle in the world, in any normal universe, that would allow Peter to walk on water. But he did one thing well. He looked at Jesus. And as he was looking at Jesus, the Bible says he walked on the water. He looked at his situation, just focusing at Jesus. And he took his eyes off of Jesus, and he saw the winds and the waves, and he sank. He lost the correct attitude when he stopped seeing with Jesus in the picture. Whatever you see, whatever you face, whatever you encounter, do not see it or face it in the natural. For we walk by faith and not by sight. So everything you see, you must insert the picture of Jesus.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Now, I told you folks, I don't do politics very often. So I'm not going to, you know, I don't, when I do comment, it, you know, when somebody says something that's just blanket like that, and if it gets into the, I mean, you know, we've got a whole year coming of this, right? Where this person's going to say, this person, well, this reverend said this. Well, this, you know, reverend said this. I don't care if their name is Reverend Billy Bob or it means nothing. What does the scripture say? What does the book say? And don't tell me it doesn't apply. It all applies. Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. All 66 books, 39 in the old, 27 in the new, all because God is more than capable of writing a book. Not that he can just write a book. He can really write a book. That's what you really want to say. And just think about this. People are going to not like, some of the people won't like this, but how many people God has touched, changed, or saved through 50 different translations of the Bible. If you ever want to get into the bibliology, one of my favorite subjects, in history, there's an element called historical evidence. And historical evidence is highest for the Iliad with 612 copies as being a historically verifiable document. The one document that's above that is the New Testament with over 20,000. Historical notation. 20,000 compared to 600. That's just the beginning, folks. Don't even get me started. We'll just have Josh McDowell come on and speak for an hour. That'd be the whole show. Okay, last thing I want to talk about. The first thing we talked about had to do with us getting a little bit more, maybe a higher level of expectation of a God who is miraculous and does miraculous things all the time, and we tend to forget that our God is a God of miracles. I don't know any other way to kind of come up with that. He breaches into the natural, tears the fabric of normal physics laws, and introduces an element that can't be explained or understood. That's a miracle. It's like, wow. And so he does that in our lives on a regular basis. Then the second thing that we got into was understanding that there's yucky things that are allowed by the Lord. Because let me tell you, if the Lord decided I'm not going to allow any more yucky things, we'd all be dead instantly. There would be no planet. If God didn't let things go on, they'd not go on. That'd be it. We'd be done. And so you think, well, why does he allow that for the Christian? Every person, there's a purpose to everything God allows, and every person is either being trained in faithfulness and perseverance in a true, genuine faith or reflecting Jesus more and more. And you think, well, what about the people that have nothing to do with Jesus and it's happening to them? Those people are just suffering from the world that's been in rebellion against God and the cause of our putting our fist up in God's face. So that was the second element we talked about. Third element, we covered a little bit of politics. And just look, here's the reality check. If you're a Christian, you should be praying for our leadership, to all of our leadership. Yes, even the House. You should be praying even for the people of the House. And you should not be praying that God swallows them whole. That's not praying for people. That's praying against people. We're supposed to pray for our leaders, not that God would suck our leaders into a vacuum in space. You should be praying that the Holy Spirit would speak to them and that they would have an insight and a knowledge and perhaps even, wait, get out of here, read the Bible. And I'm not talking about the Bible they read when they were three, because that doesn't count. Nobody gets ordained when they're three, four, five, or six. That's not scriptural either. But that's just 1 Timothy 3. Sorry. Here's the last segment we want to talk about. So Angel, great contribution, by the way, in that last segment. And Johnny, always a great contributor to the show. Love having him on.
Amen, brother.
Here's the, you know, people will relate to this one. Here it is. Sennacherib. That's how you say his name. Sennacherib. That's how you say this guy's name. This is what Sennacherib, king of Assyria, said. I want you to listen to this. What are you basing your confidence that you remain in Jerusalem while it's under siege? When Hezekiah says, the Lord our God will save us from the hand of the king of Assyria, he is misleading you to let you die of hunger and thirst. So this is out of the passage in 2 Chronicles, has to do with chapter 32, where Sennacherib is telling people, Isaiah's lying to you when he tells you that God's going to help you. So I want to say something about that because it's really important. That's the same thing that Satan says. If it's not directly to you, it's using somebody else's mouth to say it to you. Whether it's another person, whether it's a media outlet, whether it's a podcast, whether it's a movie, right? God helps those who help themselves. You know what? That's not only is it not in the book, it's completely contrary. It's just contrary to the book all the way around. Here's the bottom line. The enemy lies. That's what I want you to get. The enemy is a liar and says things about God or about the people of God that are lies. Guess why the enemy does that? Here's a simple reason. Jesus called him the father of lies. Last time I checked, the father is the father, and then there's all these kids that come from the father. That's the whole premise. So all the lies after the lie in the garden are all from the father of lies. The first lie was the lie in the garden. And then all the lies that followed are all children of the father of lies. And here, this worldly general, whose army was significantly bigger than Hezekiah's, said, oh, God's not going to help you. You're going to suffer. So after God wiped them out, you get to find out that that guy was lying about God. And that's what I want to warn people about. That as the political season comes, and as these things take place, you can absolutely count on the enemy trying to divide Christians, beat on Christians, throw Christians into whatever kind of compartment they can to marginalize them and to negate them. But the enemy is a liar who will move you away from trust in God. What does that make you think, Johnny? What does that bring to your mind?
We had some issues that we were dealing with in our family. And it just went right over my head. And even though we didn't talk about this subject, I didn't breach it with you. My wife and I discussed it a couple of days ago. And I said, we have to be weary of Satan's lies because it's destroying the fabric of our relationship. It's creating chaos in our house. And we just have to remember that Satan is a liar. So I understand that. That makes so much sense. It's another one of those things that we forget to do.
Yeah. We forget that there's – I mean, it's the world. It's the universities. I mean, Andrew, you're going to school, right? I mean, it's those campuses, there's people that are filling other people's heads with lies all the time, isn't there? Isn't that taking place on a regular basis?
Yeah, of course.
What is the best preparation for lies?
To stay in the Word of God.
Because it is?
The absolute truth.
There it is. So what's the opposite of a lie? The truth. So how do you really defeat lies?
With the truth.
With the truth. Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus said in John 17:17. Why? Because the truth is how you prevail.
Mm.
Watch this. A lot of people, we won't use the urban legend. We'll just use the practicality. What is the best way to spot a counterfeit $20 bill? We've this has been in the church for a long time, so this is not new. What's the best way to spot a counterfeit $20 bill? The best way to do it is to know what the real one looks like.
Wow.
Not to learn all of the false ones. You'll be adding knowledge you can't even retain. Oh, my goodness, there's so many. You don't have to. You just need to know what the real one is in order to be able to spot something that's not real.
And you know what that does?
What does that do?
It keeps your focus on the things that are above.
Ah, excellent. Excellent. Where your heart should be, where your mind should be. The old saying, don't be of so heavenly thinking that you're of no earthly good. Don't be, you know what? Wrong. Be that way. Be that way 10,000 times over until the Lord comes. Be of no earthly good because you're so heavenly focused, because then you'll be up like Jesus.
Mm.
Oh.
Wow.
There's a thought. Okay, being like Jesus. Wow, that's cool. I like that idea. So the idea is to allow the truth to saturate our system. And that goes back to the BFN, getting your big fat nose in the book. And that goes back to understanding that God can write a book. And in writing a book, he communicates what he wants us to know. I'm just going to close with this, and then we're going to pray. If a Martian came down tomorrow and landed in your city and said, here's a book. This will help you live the best life possible, and you can live forever once you realize all the truths in this book. There's not a single person, especially for the media, that wouldn't just absolutely read that book to no end. Well, that happened, only it wasn't a Martian. It was the creator of humanity, and he left a book. And you can have all those same things in his truth. You like that? That's kind of an easy way to see it.
Amen.
Let's pray real quick. Father, we come before you and we bless you. Thank you. I just thank you for all the people that listen, for Johnny and Angel. I thank you for Tiara and her willingness to work in these holiday times. And
yes,
we
Lord.
Just ask your blessing on the audience and on the people of God. Let each and every one of us hold to the truth. Hold to the truth of your love, your grace, your mercy, your wisdom, and your strengthening and your touch in our lives. We
thank
praise
you,
you and love you and worship you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Ladies
amen.
And gentlemen, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM. Had Johnny and Angel hanging out with us. We are going to take a 71-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Reach down.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.